This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Hour number two of the Diehards, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. Thanks for listening. One of our great affiliates. Or if you're listening on the SB Nation app, we appreciate it.
That's where the goats are listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio, at Diehards Radio. I'm at Anthony Pepe, at Anthony P-E-P-E. And Mr. Mark Linehan is at Marlin Boston, M-A-R-L-I-N Boston.
It's a bird
on Twitter.
And my name.
Tweet, tweet. Is Twitter going to be shut down, by the way?
I don't know. It sounds like, huh?
Oh, boy.
How about my million-dollar idea this week?
I love your million-dollar ideas.
Okay.
Usually.
Yeah. So I got a few, you know. The biggest one I got, I'm working with teams at MIT right now to invent the device that sees through scratch tickets.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good one.
So you can work at the 7-Eleven for one day and go, I'll take that one, then quit. The end.
So you see through all that gray stitch and scratch
like
off.
Clark Kent, I call it. The Clark Kent device. Superman. See through.
Okay.
Right?
Somebody's
going to be able to invent that, right?
That one's pretty genius. Yeah.
There you go. Right there. Boom. Pick it out. Not that one. That one. See ya. The other one is Belichick wearing all these hoodies all the time, right, on the side.
Sure.
What happens to the sleeves?
You know, he cuts them off.
There you go. There's your marketing idea. Sell the sleeves.
So what would you do with the sleeves?
Clean your table. Clean your car. Wear it as a hat.
Oh, so it's like a
Christmas
stocking. Like a rag.
What do you think? Whatever you want to do.
A Belichick rag.
Yeah, there you go. BBS. $1 million. I'm in.
I kind of like the scratch ticket idea better.
Yeah, I do too. I've been working on that one for years.
I don't know about the cutting
you
the sleeves.
Why not? What do they do with the sleeves?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I got a pocket for it now.
But do you think people would want them?
Yeah, are you kidding me around here? It'd take his underpants, for Christ's sake.
What is that noise again?
That's a combination. I'm thinking of the goats now.
Have you ever
milking goats?
Have you ever milked a goat?
No, are you kidding me?
Come on.
No, I'm going to, though. It's on my bucket list. It's on my other kind of list.
Yeah, it is.
I know a goat now. And you know what I'm going to use to do it? Belichick sleeves.
The Diehards Coach's Corner comes up next. You keep it right here. It's SB Nation Radio.
Bye.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Hopping right to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today.
Speaking of bundle.
My new favorite segment, the Diehards Coach's Corner. Joining us on the Progressive guest line, the head football coach from Elon University, Coach Tony Trisciani. Hey, Coach, welcome to SB Nation Radio, the Diehards. It's Anthony and Mark. How are you, Coach?
Hey, Anthony. Doing great, man. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Coach, I always get nervous when Linehan says the next guest is my friend. So, first of all, how do you know Mark Linehan? And give me a story.
Well, it goes back probably to 1998 when I started coaching at the University of New Hampshire.
Yeah,
and met Mark through Chip and the whole gang up there. And there's plenty of stories, none that I'm prepared to share on the radio here.
But, that's because you know I got better ones,
as you could imagine.
Coach, it's amazing. You're a successful football coach at Elon University. You mentioned Chip Kelly. He's been pretty successful. Everybody around Mark Linehan's is successful, and he's doing this radio show in my basement right now.
That's Mark. He breeds success.
I'm stealing that line, Trish.
Get things figured out.
Yeah. I was a fast kid in slow class all 3 years.
I want a phone call.
Hey, Coach, before we get into the X's and O's and what's happening, how are you holding up, you and your family, during this pandemic?
No, we've been good. Very fortunate, Anthony. You know, we're healthy. We're doing just fine down here right now.
How is life down in North Carolina? Trish, you've been down there a few years now. Obviously, you were, you know, from Villanova and down in, down in that neck of the woods for a while. Obviously, you're a guy from the Northeast. How much is life a little bit different down there, a little slow? I heard you already dropped one y'all, so I know you kind of embedded in down there.
Did I really? Well, I'll tell you, I've coached my way down here, and I love it. I really do. I mean, I like country music. I like NASCAR. I like golf. I mean, what's not to like about North Carolina?
That's awesome.
How have things been going as far as obviously a different time? We've talked to Darius Coach. We had Coach McDonald on last week talking about this. And how much of an effect is it going to be without – obviously everybody's playing by the same rules, but how much of an effect, no spring ball, no kids coming in early? What kind of a handicap has that put you at?
Right. We're fortunate that we got five spring practices in. So at least we have a little bit of film where we can make – some evaluation, certainly not the 15 practices we wish we had. But, you know, since this happened, you know, in March, we were ready to go on spring break. It was a Thursday right before spring break. And we were about to go to Costa Rica with our seniors. We do a study abroad every spring break. We take our rising seniors. And so we were ready to get on a plane and go to Costa Rica, and everything came crashing down that week. And, you know, ever since, it's just been different, you know, for everybody. But as a football coach and a football program, you know, you got 100 kids out there that are back home and starving for football. So, you know, we've been feeding that with a lot of Zoom meetings and just trying to keep our kids connected. And we're fortunate. We're going to have some of our student athletes back here on campus real soon.
How is it going to affect your whole league as far as obviously people still waiting to see what goes on? You know, where you've been up here in New Hampshire, you know, things might open a little more slowly than, say, down south. Do you see the whole league being ready to go August 1st or whatever the date is?
Yeah, that's tough to tell because, you know, different states are moving at different speeds here. And, you know, certainly up north with where y'all are, it's moving a little bit slower. And, you know, down here we're starting to get back into our offices now next week as a staff. And, you know, we're going to be bringing a small group of student-athletes back to campus where they'll be able to participate in some voluntary workouts starting Monday, June 1st. And so, you know, but you know, the teams up north, they're probably going to be a little bit behind from that standpoint.
Good for you.
I don't know if we'll all be able to, you know, get the season rolling on time or not. There's a lot of days and decisions to be made between now and then. But we're just fortunate to be able to have some of our guys back on campus and see their face.
Talk a little bit about your Zoom game, and did you ever think that question would be asked?
Yeah, no kidding. The Zoom game. Zoom game is strong. You know, we use another platform. It's called Microsoft Teams.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, so we're together as a staff three times a week, you know, meeting side of ball all the time on it, and then with our players a couple times a week, just trying to give them some football. We did a real neat thing with a coaches' clinic with high school coaches from New England down to Florida, and, you know, we'd have about 80 coaches on those sessions. Wow. Where, you know, we'd do Tuesdays and Thursdays for the last, like, 8 weeks. So that's been a really cool thing that we've done for our coaches and just trying to stay connected with the high school guys.
Is that something a lot of coaches have done, Tony? That's the first time I've really heard of that.
There's been some. I don't know that anyone's done a series like we have where it's every week, you know, offense on Tuesdays, defense on Thursdays.
Yep.
And done it the way we've done it. But it's been great for the feedback's been great from the high school guys. And it's great for our coaches, too. For our staff, you know, forces us to really kind of get organized and prepare and still teach some football and keep us sharp and talking ball. And that's what a lot of coaches have been doing. I mean, you know, we've all been just trying to connect with each other, and any chance we've had to get on with somebody else and talk some football, you know, we've been doing it.
quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Joining us on the Progressive guest line, the head football coach at Elon University, Coach Tony Trisciani. Hey, Coach, talk a little bit about if football happens in the fall, and I know it's still a big if because no one knows what's going to happen, but let's say football happens in the fall with no students, no fans in the stands. Is that easier for you? Is it difficult for the players? Talk a little bit about...
They can hear him dropping F-bombs on the sidelines.
Preparing the players for and your coaching staff with nobody in the seats.
Yeah, that would be real hard. I mean, that's just not what college football is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see the NFL surviving it, and the TV money's worth it, for sure. I don't know that that's what's... If that'll be a model that'll survive with college football. And it's different with the SEC, too, and those big television contracts that the Power Five conferences have. But, I mean, there was a short track race here in North Carolina, here in Alamance County, about 20 minutes from us on Saturday, and they had, like, over 2,000 people watching this race. So if 2,000 people are going to come out to watch a late model race, I got to hope that we'll be able to have some people in the stands come September.
Did anybody drink Budweiser at that event, offhand?
There's probably some Budweisers and some fried bologna sandwiches. Mark.
There you go. I can see you fitting right in now. Y'all fitting in there now pretty good. Hey, just a little bit now, the NCAA made a rule this week talking about recruiting more of a, a dry period. You're off the road a little bit longer. Obviously, everybody in the same way.
Yeah.
Were you expecting that, and how does that handicap your recruiting efforts?
We're going to continue to do what we've been doing, really, for the last month and a half, which is calling kids, FaceTiming them. What we miss is the in-person evaluation of the summer camps, and that's a big piece for all of us. It's a big piece for the Power Five programs as well. And we've been very fortunate down here in North Carolina where, we go to all the camps. We go to Wake Forest, UNC, Duke, NC State, East Carolina, App State. So we've got all these schools so close to us. We're able to see so many prospects. And, schools like Wake Forest and Duke, they attract a lot of kids from the north, and we recruit a lot from the north. There'll be a lot of Massachusetts and New England kids down here at both of those places. There's quite a few New England kids who have come down here to Duke and had success. And so, that's something we're going to miss, is that live eval on those guys.
How about the early signing period? And talking to UNH's Coach McDonald last week, he was kind of far because he felt that the Division I kids, the big-time kids, would kind of got out of the way early, so you kind of had you knew what your pool was a little bit better. Does that make sense to you as well?
Yeah, for sure. The early signing period has been great for us. I mean, we signed 12 kids early last year.
Awesome. Any of them any good?
12 out of our 15 were early signees, So.
Yep.
We're going to, hopefully that's still, kids are starting to commit now, so it's still starting to clear up. The problem is, some people, you might be making more mistakes, the FBS schools are going to be making more mistakes, and then, we may make some more mistakes because you don't have that live eval where you get to see the intangibles. You get to see if the kid's the first guy in line, see if he's going to touch the line, see if he's going to follow directions and his effort and competitiveness, and you miss a lot of that stuff that you get at those live evals in the summer.
Hey, Coach, final thoughts here. We got about 2 minutes left. Your expectations when the season does happen with fans in the stands, what are your expectations of your program?
Can you all win the national championship?
We can win the national championship. We've got some good players coming back. We've got a quarterback coming back who's a veteran. We'll be... we had a lot of growing pains on the offensive line at the linebacker position last year just because we graduated a lot of production, a lot of talent at those spots. But we do expect to be competing for a CAA championship and competing for a national championship.
Good stuff, Coach. Hey, appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you later on down the line, okay?
All right. Thank you a lot.
Thanks
a lot, Anthony.
There he is, head coach, football coach, Elon University, Coach Tony Trisciani.
Where we get the y'alls? 2.5, the over-under?
I think he had about 4 of them right there, right?
From Manchester, New Hampshire, dropping y'all. Come on, Chris.
Quick TO, y'all, we'll be back right after this.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And welcome back to the Diehards. Again, our off-air segments are sometimes better than on-air. But I will tell you this. Right before 10 o'clock, our final segment, at like 9:57, we're going to tell you a little bit about Mark Linehan's sleeping habits. He's got something new going on, so we're going to tell you about that. That's a tease in the radio business, my friend. Yes. When you need auto parts, Linehan.
I do. I need all kinds of auto parts.
O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, Linehan.
Like they did the pizza I brought you.
Yes. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door.
What if I want one part delivered and one part picked up
you
at the
door? You can do both. Wow. And it's free shipping on most orders over $35. Free shipping. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Getting right back to the Progressive guest line, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today from 98.5, the Sports Hub here in Boston. Our friend Alex Barth is on the line. Hey, Alex, welcome back, SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
You hanging in there? You doing all right? You catching up on a lot of TV shows during this pandemic?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been, I never truly knew what binge watching was. I've binge watched old college football games. That's what we've got.
You know, I've done the same thing and I still lose on my bets.
There you go. So where do you stand, Alex, with sports returning? Do you think the NHL has a good plan? Do you think the NBA has a good plan? MLB seems far away with the players' union and all the pay cuts. What's your overall take? Should they, as Linehan says, just drop the puck?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any good plan right now. I think there's just different degrees of bad.
All right.
It comes down to sort of what you believe in. The NHL plan makes some sense, but it involves them taking, you know, what they call 30,000 tests, which if they're saying 30, I'm guessing it's closer to 60,000 tests off the market. There's regular people who need those tests. Why should hockey players get them to play a game? Yes, we need to be entertained, but, you know, it just sort of comes down to where you stand with the morality of it. Is it okay to be playing sports right now when so many people are sick or out of work or whatever the case may be? Is it right for sports leagues to acquire all these resources? We need all these resources to go. It's a tricky question. It's not a yes or no question. And it seems like we get new information every day, every couple of days, so things change. But it's just tough for me to wrap my head around, you know, taking – if all three leagues come back, you're talking about upwards of 100,000 tests off the market, and we know there's a shortage right now. We've heard from medical professionals that there's a shortage right now. So that just, it sits weird with me. I'm not necessarily saying they shouldn't play because I understand the benefits as well, but that's what I've been struggling with personally.
I've been told that baseball's plan is to, they've taken over the drug testing lab that they've used, I believe in Arizona, that they used to drug test minor league players and have completely shifted that to coronavirus so that they will pick up the cost that way themselves. That will take a little bit away from the argument that I agree with you, that people will say, why are we testing these guys and not the other guys?
Well, the MLB has their own problems. And I'm starting to wonder if we're going to see baseball again, coronavirus or not, with how ugly this is getting. I think the NHL is the best plan. You can't finish the regular season. You can't do it. And I think that it's fine to play, and you can't go right to the playoffs because the players need a warm up. A little round robin before, put some stakes on it with the seeding. I like that. The other issue for me, and this is something nobody's talked about, but I wrote about this back in March when everything shut down. So, okay, so the NHL season is going to start in August, the playoffs. That's 2 months, September, October. So are we not going to have an off season, or are we going to have a shorter 2021 season? Yeah. And if that's the case, right, it's 2021 getting pushed back. At a certain point, you have to lose games. Whether it's canceling this season, whether it's shortening next season, whatever the case is, you're going to have to lose a significant amount of games. And I don't like the idea of just kicking that can down the road until whatever and completely rearranging the whole sports schedule. I don't want to be playing hockey in August for forever. It's not meant to be played in August. They have a good schedule the way it is, October to June. I don't want to see that permanently shift, but you can't finish, and the same goes for basketball. I'm using hockey because they say seem the closest, but for basketball, you can't play the NBA Finals the first week in September and then start games around Halloween. And it's not even the players, right? Because you say the players need time off, and people say, well, they've had all this time off. You need free agency to happen. You need the draft to happen. You need training camp. Like, there's just things that happen in the off season that you can't condense down to 6 weeks. It's not feasible to do. That, to me, is the biggest hurdle that nobody's talking about. It's not resuming the 2020 season. It's, well, okay, you know, where are these lost games coming from if you do resume? What are we doing about 2021? I honestly think, and this is not a popular opinion, but all things considered, just drop it. Just end it, and then you pick up on time for next season, next fall, right, in September, in October, we get basketball and hockey. And I would just roll with that. It would suck. We had some great seasons going on. It's unfortunate they would end without a champion. But all things considered, to me, that's the best option. I know it's not a popular opinion, but I think it's the best option.
You know, up here in Massachusetts where we are, it's, you know, we're always in last place and everything. Like I said to Pep earlier, we'll be the 52nd state to open up the gates. Today, Mayor Marty Walsh pulls the plug on the marathon, which is always more than 3 months away. But I got a little bit of breaking news for you. I've been told that the governor will announce tomorrow that the pro sports facilities can open on Monday for training with some guidelines in place. It'll allow the Bruins to skate in Brighton, the Red Sox to do some spring training if they want at home. And I think that will, it's going to be some big news and open some things up.
I mean, that would be big, but you also have today, there's a report that the TD Garden as a whole will not open its doors until there's a vaccine, which we're talking about a year. And that includes games, concerts, whatever. It's all great if the teams practice, if they don't have somewhere to play. And you can play without fans. And I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad idea, and I think we will see it, but everybody's rushing to it. I don't think people are going – it takes a lot away from the game. For instance, I was watching – they were showing on NBA TV today the 2002 Western Conference Finals, the Lakers and the Kings, and Robert Horry's shot, right? And I turned to my brother and I said, you know, without the crowd reaction, that's significantly less of a moment. That's the whole thing. And I'm not saying don't play until fans can come back. That's unrealistic. But, you know, I like what college football's doing. Phil Stadium's up 25%. I saw a good idea floated on Twitter. It's not going to be popular again, but it's a good idea. Fill the stadiums to 25% and quadruple the ticket prices so you get the same gate. And, yeah, only rich people can go to games, and that's unfortunate. But then the leagues keep going financially, and eventually you get back to 100%. Like, I think the best ways out of this, people are really not going to like. And it's going to be up to the leagues, and I'm not saying this is easy, it's not, but it's going to be up to the leagues to find the balance between what's popular, what's economic, and what's efficient. And those could all be three completely different things.
Quote,
but
buy, and save on
the leagues to find that balance.
Hang on, Alex. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Alex. But I'm curious, Alex, to get your take. We got about a minute and a half left here. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, will it be a success or a failure?
I mean, if Super Bowl is a success, I don't think they get that far. They'll win. They'll make the wild card. The Saints are going to win the division. They'll make the wild card. They'll win a playoff game or two. Ultimately, his goal is to be the highest paid quarterback in football. That's why he went there. So it's a success for him.
Well, I guess that takes care of that. I'm ready to go. How about real quick time, MLB, you know, they're going to get the position to play, everything going, but, you know, like Pep says all along, there's going to have to be some negotiation soon. Will they get it handled?
No, I'm team players. They shouldn't cave. If they cave to the owners, they should just walk into the next CBA negotiation with a blindfold. They cannot cave on this.
I don't think they're going to cave either, guys, and I don't think we're going to have an MLB season. I really don't. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's in serious jeopardy.
Drop the puck, play ball.
There may be some hockey if they can figure that out. NBA, I'm still skeptical. I don't think that's going to happen either. And then college football, I'm a little worried about having all those fans in the stands. Hey, Alex, great stuff as always. How can people find your stuff?
At Real Alex Barth on Twitter. I'm not watching Scab Baseball.
All right. Alex, appreciate the time. Good stuff. Keep up the good work with 98.5 The Sports Hub, and we'll talk to you soon, okay, buddy?
Thanks, guys.
All right. Quick TO, Dr. Football joins us next. He's Linehan. I'm Pepe. We are the Diehards. It is SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Final guest segment on the program. So last time we'll go to the Progressive guest line. Tonight's Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com. Today, friend of the show, Mr. Dr. Football, John Saronitis. Doc, welcome back. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How's it going, guys?
We're hanging in there, man. I know you are just about as bummed out as Mark Linehan because you both were planning on running the Boston Marathon this year, and it's been canceled.
2 years ago, I dressed as a Kenyan and came in ninth.
I'll tell you, I was hoping to walk the first quarter mile and then call it a day, and now that's not going to happen.
Hey, are you surprised they pulled the plug this early?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that they didn't pull the plug on it sooner. Now, of course, I'm more upset because me and a friend of mine had tickets to SummerSlam, and now we're not going to get to go see SummerSlam. So I'm more pissed off about that than I am about the marathon getting canceled.
Well, every week, Doc, we ask you about football. So where do you think we're at right now? You're seeing these other leagues with proposals. MLB is screwed. That's not going to happen. NHL, NBA have some plans in place. What do you think about the NFL and college football? And a week ago you had an answer. What's your answer now? Is it the same? You think we're going to see football?
I think we will. I mean, I thought that it was interesting that some NFL owners said this week that they felt that they were going to play in front of fans. I don't know if I believe that. I think that one of two things are going on with those owners. Either one, they must have some pretty powerful connections and they're going to make it happen, or they're delusional. So I think we'll have football. I'm not sure if it'll be played in front of fans, or if it is played in front of fans, you might see the league adhere to the CDC regulations and have stadiums at 25% capacity. Maybe you can have anywhere from 10 to 20 to 30,000 people at the most. But I still think we're going to play football. There might not be preseason football, but I still also think that it'll probably be played at least initially in front of no fans.
Talk your thoughts. Obviously you're a high school educator and a coach. Massachusetts is the last place to open up anywhere. What are your thoughts on the odds on there being actual high school in session in the fall and high school athletics?
Well, again, same thing, Mark. I think that they're going to adhere to the CDC guidelines. I know that for a fact, that you're only going to have 25% of the population in your school. So if that's the case, if you were to use high school as the barometer, let's say, then if that's the case, you're probably only going to be bringing in one class per day. So, for example, Monday will be freshmen, Tuesday sophomores, Wednesdays juniors, Thursday seniors. Friday might be a rotation day. If that happens, there's a good chance you're not going to play fall sports, because if you can't, here's the thing, you can't tell students they can't be in the building on these 3 or 4 days, but they can show up after school and practice. So, if they adhere to the CDC guidelines, I don't see how they play fall sports at this point.
I think it was a good sign this afternoon. I was watching Governor Baker from Massachusetts' press conference, who talked about that. He said that he felt that the sport of basketball was the worst sport, I'm paraphrasing, for communicating the virus amongst each other with, obviously 5-on-5 sweating and playing against each other. I know a couple of high school basketball coaches that got their attention. We're talking about maybe not seeing anything until the 21.
Look, I said it from the beginning, and people thought I was being negative. I think this year's a wash. I really do.
Agree.
I think this year's toast. It's all about doing whatever we can do to slow this thing down this year so we don't lose next year. But I think the idea of sports being played in front of full-capacity crowds or concerts or plays, forget it. We're probably talking a year from now, honestly, for a lot of that stuff, especially music and performances and whatnot.
Surprising. I got told tonight by a pretty good source, I've been saying it all night long, that the governor of Massachusetts will announce tomorrow that pro sports facilities can open on Monday for training and with some guidelines in place, which will allow the Bruins to skate in Brighton and for the Red Sox to do some spring training at Fenway to get warming. Do you think that could be maybe leading some good news for a change and open stuff up for the likes of you and, high school guys?
Yeah, you hope. Again, it'll be interesting to see, too, because I think a lot of what happens with high school sports will depend on whether or not camps can happen this summer. If camps can happen, then that will also be a good sign. But if for whatever reason they say you can't do camps, or you can do camps but you can only have a certain number of kids, I think a lot of that could determine whether or not we play high school sports this fall. If they allow you to have camps with a certain number of kids there, then I think odds are you might be able to play fall sports. But if they tell you no camps, then I'm gonna have to say that I'd be surprised if we had fall sports.
I know people are trying to be optimistic and positive and give people some hope and whatnot. Both my daughters, I have a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they both play softball. So they both play on a spring league that obviously is delayed, but they're saying that they could possibly be practicing and playing games in June. And then my daughter plays on a softball summer travel league. So
yeah, that ain't happening.
And no, but what they're saying is it's going to happen, but we have to adhere by the little league rules, which the rules are parents have to sit in their cars and watch these games.
Easy to drink
beer. I'm like, I get what they're saying, and they're trying to give you hope and kind of excitement level, if you will, but there's no way this is going to happen. It's not happening.
Is a ground ball the second, and you have to say 6 feet away. Does that make fat people easy to be safe running down the line?
I would think so, but I just don't see it happening. I just can't see putting you know kids at risk. And I know you take all the precautions, but you're still not going to do it.
No, I agree. I don't see it happening either. And look, it depends who you believe. That's the other thing. I mean, I saw a report today that some epidemiologists believe that this thing is never going to go away. So is this literally the new norm? Like, is this life moving forward? I mean, who knows? So, again, there's just so much stuff out there, and it's so hard, or at least it's gotten so hard now to try to figure out what's fact versus fiction. But, again, we're not the ones calling the shots, and I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of the things that we're accustomed to, we've already given up, and I feel like we're going to continue to give things up, at least through this year, which, to be honest with you guys, if it means that we get 2021 and we salvage 2021 and we don't have to go through this again, then I'm all in for wiping this year out and doing doing whatever we have to do to get through this thing.
Doc, we had a buddy of mine on, the head football coach at Elon University, Tony Trisciani, on earlier. He was talking about, you know, obviously every coach we have on, we talk about the Zoom game now. He talked about how his staff has been doing high school clinics once a week via Zoom and via some other ways that way, and they've had coaches from as far up here north in Massachusetts down to Florida this way. Have you heard much of that going on with different coaches, and how about some of your colleagues, the guys that you've coached with, how are they handling this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so Boston College did that a couple of weeks ago. They had a week-long series of Zoom clinics for local coaches, and it was their staff that did them. And basically that replaced the clinic that they usually have at Boston College. It's usually middle to end of March where they have a Saturday clinic, and then high school coaches can go out and watch spring practice. So in lieu of that, they did these Zoom clinics. You're hearing a lot more about it throughout the country. In fact, a lot of high school football coaches associations are putting on these clinics as well, not only for high school coaches, but for youth coaches as well. I think it's awesome. Look, you don't stop learning just because this is going on. You never stop learning as a football coach. You never stop searching for an idea or two that can help you build your program and win football games. So I think it's awesome. I think it's great. And I know a lot of coaches that have taken advantage of it, even the guys that I've coached with over at King Philip Regional. They've taken advantage of it as well. I think it's something that, hey, if you're going to be sitting at home, you might as well get better and hone your craft and get better at your profession. So I think it's been great that colleges and high school coaches have been doing this.
Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. Joining us on the Progressive guest line, Dr. Football from the New England Football Journal and rotoplanner.com. Friend of the show, John Saronidis, is on with the Diehards here on SB Nation Radio. Hey, Doc, I stole this question directly from ESPN, so I'm going to give them credit. But who has more pressure going into this season, Tom Brady or Dak Prescott?
Oh, Tom Brady. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, he's 42 going on 43. The perception nationally is that he's still a top-10 quarterback and can play at that level. Expectations are through the roof. You have no excuses. They're about to sign Devontae Freeman, potentially. They signed him. They've got a bunch of talent on offense, a very good front seven, a developing back seven. The coaching staff is good. That's a team that if they show up, stay healthy, should win a minimum of 10 games. Absolutely, Tom Brady. The pressure's on him. If he wants to win that seventh Super Bowl, all eyes are going to be on him now and how he adjusts to life outside of New England.
How about OTAs without them? I mean, same question, I guess. If you look at the Patriots with a new quarterback and ostensibly a new offensive setup, without OTAs there versus Tom Brady. I guess he's playing catch in the Tampa Bay Park or something with some wide receivers. But what kind of how much of a factor is no OTAs going to be at both levels that way?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge because especially for Brady in Tampa and for Jared Stidham here, it affects your ability to develop the chemistry with your receivers, your tight ends, and your backs. I mean, that's where you run your base offense. That's where you develop that chemistry so that by the time you get into training camp, the chemistry piece is there. Now it's about taking on the rest of that install and applying it and getting the chemistry down in that phase of the operation. So I think it's huge. You're going to see it. Look, if they don't, they're not going to do OTAs. They're not going to do mini camp. If training camp is cut back in any way, shape, or form, you're going to see it. And if they don't play preseason games, it's going to show even more when the regular season kicks off. A lot of these guys, particularly quarterbacks, they're going to be out of rhythm. They're not going to be in sync. It's going to affect the way their offenses perform.
Lots of moving parts. Lots of things are changing for obvious reasons. The NFL, Doc, has no more pass interference reviews. They're gone, thank God. That's kind of a no-brainer. But why didn't they change the onside kick?
It's special teams is a hard thing. I mean, one of the things you got to remember with special teams is you employ a third of your roster strictly to play special teams, or a little less than a third. But special teams is tricky between the union and jobs and the roster construction. There's a lot of different moving parts there. So while it's easy to say get rid of this or get rid of that, get rid of the kickoff, the onside kick for player safety purposes, it's a lot easier said than done just because you have so many different dynamics that go into it. And I think there's a lot of trepidation on the parts of the owners to say, we're going to get rid of the onside kick when you're employing part of your roster strictly to play special teams. So, I'm not surprised. And I think there is a desire to keep special teams in the game. I don't think that that's necessarily out there publicly, but I think privately in all levels of football, there's a desire to keep special teams in the game. And I think that fuels a lot of this, too, where they're passing up on an opportunity to introduce something else in lieu of the onside kick.
What adjustment is going to have to be from coaches, even at your level, at the high school level, to the college level, guys that have done it for a lot of years and have had pretty much the same blueprint of how they've started camps and stuff like that. What kind of adjustment are you going to have to make to see what kind of, what you're dealing with here with kids that haven't had an opportunity to really do anything?
I'll tell you, you're not going to be able to just roll up into your practices and start banging. I mean, it's really the emphasis early on has got to be about physical development, and it's got to be about physical maintenance. You got to make sure that they're in playing shape before you put the pads on and you start hitting and going live. Usually that takes you about a week, but now it could be something where you're going to see less teams, particularly in the NFL. You might see less scrimmages, preseason games. Same thing in high school. You might not have the scrimmages where you can work out these kinks. I think it's going to be about getting your guys in, getting them into the flow, getting them just doing football-related things, and then easing them into contact. Because if you think you're going to roll in and then that first weekend after you start, you're in pads and you're scrimmaging somebody, that ain't going to happen.
Hey, Doc, final question here. We got about a minute left. Most important question of the interview, Ian, this evening. SummerSlam, who are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I was thinking that you might get a Brock Lesnar return.
All right.
And he beats Drew McIntyre and reclaims his title because Vince loves Brock and blocks those tickets. But we're not going to get to see that now because it's not going to happen because of the stupid coronavirus and the fact that Marty Walsh is a wuss and he won't let us just all wear masks and sit there to watch some quality wrestling. So I'm pissed. I'm bummed. Everything sucks.
Was there a specific ensemble you would have worn to such a SummerSlam?
SummerSlam at the TD Garden, too, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to go with my buddy. He and I are diehard wrestling fans. We watch every pay-per-view. We bought the tickets the weekend they went on sale, spent some big money for them. Now we're hoping it's either at Gillette or it comes back next year.
Are you one of those guys that make the signs?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm not one of those guys that make the signs. We did buy. We were in the first five rows. So I'm actually a pretty fun person to go to a live wrestling event with because I really give it to the wrestlers. I get into it.
You know what, dude?
Are you going to wear a mask regardless?
I might be a luchador. Dr. Luchador.
I'm sold. I'm going to a wrestling match. It's on my bucket list with Dr. Football.
I might wrestle you right now. I'm so fired.
You gotta do it.
One of my favorite signs of all time watching wrestling, it was Monday Night Raw. Guy had a sign literally on TV the whole time, says, I poop too much.
There you go. You didn't recognize me, did you?
Talk football. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
Keep washing your hands, brother.
All righty, guys. Always a pleasure.
We'll talk to you next week. Here he is, John Serenitas. Final TO. We'll come right back and tell you about Linehan's latest sleeping modification next. It is the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
All right, Linehan.
What do you got?
Great job on getting our
coach this week.
Yeah,
lining
coach,
up you for next week, too.
Looking good, and good job on the new shout-out section.
Yeah.
Of the new bit. It's a fun one.
Goats in Maine.
But the question now is, so you're getting a little old.
Getting.
So you're having trouble.
Let's put it this way, the overcovered.
You're having trouble sleeping, and I know that you have to get up like every 2 hours and pee.
No, I'm pretty good at that.
Other than that, what's keeping you up?
I pee 3 times, I only get up one.
What's keeping you up at night? What is your latest modification?
I've got some construction issues next to my apartment building.
All right.
It's just they're building a whole new develop, whatever. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da! 7:01 in the morning.
Yep.
Then I realized at 7:01 in the morning, the sun's up, and it's in my eyes.
All right, so what do you do?
So I bought one of those eye shade things.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Sleeping in the dark? It's awesome. You know what you do when you wake up? You play a game if I try to bet myself. What time is it? You know? Try to be within 3 or 4 minutes. You see how good I am at that game.
Final thought. What is wrong with you?
How long you got, brother?
We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Wash your hands.